Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to complete a reflection this week on the eighth chapter of John's Gospel. Most of the week, the church gave these readings from this section of John's Gospel to reflect on at daily Mass. And it's the great drama. If you haven't had a chance to tune in this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. We looked at the drama that's unfolding here between Jesus and the religious leaders, the climactic battle before Jesus. You know, they end up arresting Jesus, and we walk with Jesus to Calvary through his passion. And it's extremely intense. And what you can see is that no one escapes the reality of living in a fallen world, and the truth that Jesus and the apostles proclaim that everyone is under sin. Everyone is battling, that needs God's help to come out from under the reign of sin and death, which ultimately is under the domination of the kingdom of darkness, a fallen world, and that it goes right to the core of the human heart, and Jesus exposes it even in the religious leaders of his time. All stand in need of the saving act and the saving work of Jesus Christ. All stand in need of the blood of Jesus. And what we're going to see next week as we walk with Christ through his passion is the love of God that alone can conquer sin's power. The light of the world is Jesus. The light of the world is the love of God that's revealed in Jesus. The light of the world is the eternal life, the divine life, the indestructible life of God that's in the person of Jesus, who became one of us. He's the only Savior of the world. In his name alone, Peter will say in the Acts of the Apostles, by his name only can we be saved. No other religious leader, no other philosophy, friends, no way of life, nothing can bring about salvation. Only Christ, because he is God's only begotten Son, and he came and took on human flesh for the sake of the salvation of the world. And the drama's so intense. You see Jesus facing off with the religious leaders. They're the pinnacle of quote-unquote God's chosen people. That is, they're the official leaders of God's chosen people on earth. They're the ones who are supposed to be most enlightened and most aware and keenly discerning God's purposes and plans and awaiting the coming of the Messiah, and are supposedly the ones who have God's heart to, and are fulfilling, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself. And Jesus exposes them as hypocrites. It's really intense drama. And they try to silence him. I want to go back to part of this chapter, right around verse 41, 42, where Jesus says to them, before Abraham was, I am. Where, you know, they're declaring that they're sons of Abraham, right? They're the descendants. They're the rightful heirs of Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, the people of Israel. And Jesus tells them and exposes them, no, you're not. You're not. You may say so in name, but you're not acting like Abraham, like your father. You act like a slave. You don't act like a son. You're not behaving like your father. What do you mean? Well, who is Abraham? Abraham was a nomad of faith. Abraham was the first to hear the voice of God, and God called him out to go to a promised land where he didn't know where it was. He left all his security, all that he had built, all that he'd accomplished, his identity, right, his security, everything that defined him. He left it all to follow the call of God. And even his most precious possession, you might say, his son Isaac, who was a gift from God, the fulfillment of the promise. God promised Abraham in his latter years, when he was clearly beyond the capacity to have children, he and his wife together, she was barren and old, and yet a miracle baby appeared, right? That was through Sarah came Isaac. And Isaac was meant to be, you know, Abraham's the father of a great nation, and Isaac was to carry that on. But God calls Abraham to be willing to sacrifice even Isaac. What sense does that make? Right? Imagine what people, what Abraham was even thinking at first, like, what? To put a knife through the heart of the promise through my beloved? God exposes, he confounds Abraham's mind to expose his heart. What's in Abraham's heart? Is it God first? Is it radical trust in God? Or is it self-reliance? What's most important to Abraham, Isaac or God? Who's your Isaac? Where's the line that you draw in the sand that says, this is as far as I'll go and no farther? I mean, I've heard people say it. I just heard somebody a few years ago saying, you know, a woman, a Catholic woman whose son came out a homosexual and decided that that person decided they were going to live that lifestyle. And the mother said, well, I know that the church supposedly teaches that that's not right, but this is my son and I love my son. I'm going to affirm whatever my son chooses. And this is who he says he is. And so I'm going to stand with him and support him. Now, clearly God is calling that mother to keep loving the son, but to love him in truth. But she very dramatically drew a line in the sand and essentially said, look, I don't care what God thinks ultimately about this. This, my son, is the most important thing in my life. And it's too much for God to ask me to not affirm my son in this lifestyle. Have you drawn the line in the sand anywhere in your own life? Isaac was his prize, the son of the promise. But he was willing to obey God. He put his trust and hope in God. He knew that the only way forward, the only way to life, was to trust God. And God was not afraid to call Abraham his friend. This is my friend. Friends, as we draw close here to Calvary this next week in Holy Week, are we living like God's friend? Is there any idol in our life, in your life, my life, any idol in our lives that we put before God? My ego, my pleasure, my honor, this desire for power, money, comfort, sex, whatever. What is it? A drug? A child? Lent is a time, and no better time than Holy Week to align ourselves with God. We need to hear in the confrontation here with Jesus and the religious leaders. It got so dramatic. Jesus said to them in verse 41, you do the works of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication like Ishmael. I mean, basically, we were true sons of Abraham is their point here. And then we have one father, which is God, they're declaring to Jesus. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded and came forth from God. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You don't want to hear the word I've brought from the Father. You don't want to acknowledge that I'm God's son. You don't want to be under my lordship. You want the power. You want the freedom. You want the pleasure. You want what you want, Jesus said. And then those who say, no, I've come from Abraham's my father and God's my father, they discerned that Jesus had a demon. We talked about yesterday. They said Jesus was possessed by the devil. How much farther off could they possibly be than the eternal Son of God was possessed by the devil? That's how blind even religious leaders can get. That's how blind any of us can get if we're not remaining, as Jesus said, in his word. He goes on to say in verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature. But he is a liar and he's the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe. He's comparing them and he turns the table on him and said, you're under the domination of the devil. Who's the devil? He's a murderer. He's a liar. He's a thief. And what are you trying to do? He said, you deny the truth as the devil denies the truth, and you seek to kill me. That's what Calvary's all about. Jesus said, when I'm lifted up, then you'll see and you'll understand. And what's revealed there and what will be revealed there, friends, as we meditate on this next week. Love came and we crucified it. Love came and spoke to us and we silenced it. God came to claim what belongs to him, to establish his reign in his beloved son. And just like the parable Jesus told, you know, the man who owned the big vineyard and had sent his servants, they killed him. They just killed him all. And then they finally sent his son and they killed his son too. This is what was happening. And this is what happens today when people deny the Son of God. And we said, no, we don't need him. And, you know, don't talk to us about this intolerant stuff. Don't, you know, he can't make a truth claim. He can make a meaning claim, like he offers something meaningful to the world, but he can't make a truth claim that he's the Lord, that he's the King of Kings, that everyone made was made by him and for him, and our rightful place is to be on our knees before the Lord himself. And to deny his kingship, to deny his revelation, his offer of salvation, is profoundly evil and wicked. And it's from the devil. Jesus said in that beautiful passage from John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that one, he goes on in verse 19 to say, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, that is the Son of God, has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been wrought in God. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the truth. He who walks in the light will walk in the truth. He who loves me will do the things I do. Calvary reveals everything about the human condition. It is the moment of unbelievably important revelation that we can't miss. That, first of all, God is love. That's the truth about God. God is love. He's not a tyrant. He's not a distant clockmaker. He's a loving father, and Jesus gave testimony to it. Jesus on the cross reveals the sin-sick condition of the human heart. Love came, as I said, and we crucified it. Finally, we see in Jesus what it truly means to be human. He reclaims for us what greatness truly is. And friends, let's claim it ourselves. To be great, the great one is the one who loves God in the grace of God, in the power of God, with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loves his neighbors as self. Let's embrace that, say yes to it, run after it, and support each other in living in it. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.